Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Greetings, everyone. I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from adversity and failure to go and live the best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and sell. You want to learn how to tell and learn how to sell and tell your story? Go to tawatson.com under the programs and product page and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me, this is a very special person to me, person I've been working with, I've been knowing here, it must have been I want to say over 10 years now. Precious, it's amazing. Precious boy, she's doing amazing things. My first introduction to speaking in North Carolina was speaking to her youth at her mentor and organization. Wonderful lady doing great things. I know her family. Great young people and husband as well. So, Precious McCoy, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, awesome. So, Precious, for the folks who may not necessarily know who you are, I want you to briefly tell them who you are, where they can find you, and then more about your program, and then more about your book as well.
Okay, absolutely. So I am Precious McCoy. I'm the founder and executive director of the SHIELD Mentor Program. So I do run a nonprofit organization. I also happen to be the wife of my husband, Antonio, and my lovely two children. So I'm so glad to talk a little bit about my story, because my story is definitely their story, as we have had to live together, grow together. And I'm looking forward to sharing more about that with you.
Awesome. And tell them the name of your book and when you expect that to be out.
The book is titled Precious Rising, Embracing All That I Am. And I am expecting my book to release in June. However, the ebook will be available in May.
Yeah, what a great title. I love it. Is there a way that they can follow you? If they want to follow you, is there a way to best get a hold of you?
Yes, my author website is www.preciousmccoy.com. I'm definitely looking forward to you reaching out to me. I'm building communities there. So I'm looking to have authentic discussions centered around my book topics as well.
Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to that. Can't wait to read it. I've actually gotten a little glimpse of it as well. Folks, you guys are definitely going to be in for a very authentic story that's going to be told. It's going to motivate you and it's a very, no greater story of resiliency out there. So, Precious, as you know, our podcast centers on bringing amazing people like yourself on and having you kind of tell us your stories of some of your most difficult moments. And I know you've experienced an overwhelming amount of childhood trauma. And like I was saying before, the fact that you're still here today and your willingness to give back to our young people is absolutely amazing. For those folks who may not necessarily know a lot about some of the childhood trauma you endured, you mind just kind of give us an overview of some of the things that you had to endure?
Yes, absolutely. That's what I'm here for. So I want to really just back up to something that I feel we can all relate to, which is the fact that during the pandemic, we were all isolated. And for me, that's when a lot of my childhood memories started to flood me, and I started to really think about my life overall, what I've already been doing, but also just what I would like to do. So I had to sit with my inner child. And if you don't know about sitting with your inner child, that can sometimes be a very difficult thing to go through when you've been through traumatic life experiences. For me, there are multiple things that I've gone through that I feel like other people can relate to. My trauma centered around sexual abuse and also around some of the decisions that my oldest brother had been making. We grew up in an era, you know, during hip hop and He had been very much influenced by the norms at school and in society and in our neighborhood. So I do feel like this is a story that's not necessarily unique. We all have to grow up in a world where there's good and there's evil. And we have tough decisions to make. And although we grew up in a pastor's family, you know, we all have the ability to really decide our own path as we grow up. And through the developmental stages, some of us as children can handle those responsibilities and decisions really well. And some of us really struggle with it. So I have a heart specifically for Black males and what those who encounter situations where they're subject to stereotypes, or I even call it self-sabotaging behavior sometimes when we're not necessarily raised to make the decisions that we might make. I was very much impacted by everything that my oldest brother did because I looked up to him as a middle child. I fell third in line. I had my oldest brother who was 6 years older than me, and then my younger brother, I call him, who is 2 years older than me, and then my younger sister, who's only 15 months apart from me. So definitely we had an age gap and a difference in what we feel like we experienced growing up. And that was just interesting for me to really think about my upbringing. While there were very great things that I can hold on to and that also developed me into the person that I am today and helped me find strength in all of the things that I went through. There were also those things that I had to overcome. So the book obviously talks about some of the ways that I was able to rise above my circumstances.
Absolutely. So appreciate you sharing that as well. And again, you were a preacher's kid as well, a PK they call them. Okay. So again, as you look back over your life, and not to say that, you know, just being a preacher's kid protects you from or makes you exempt from anything else though, but sometimes in those situations, because you are a preacher's kid, a lot of the things that you may endure become hush hush because of the status of the pastor, what have you as well. So talk to us about the feelings that you had to endure knowing that you were dealing with childhood sexual abuse. And I'm assuming it was kind of hush hush, either, you know, you didn't say a lot about it or you were told by the perpetrator not to say anything. What were some of the emotions that one had to kind of deal with when you're living in this place of silence and destruction?
Absolutely. So breaking silence took a very long time for me. In fact, I feel writing my book is probably the most that I have spoken out about the things that I feel I experienced in my household. So there was a lot of unlearning that had to happen in order for me to find my true authentic self. That's a process that we all go through. And I write a little bit about how that came to be for me. One of the things is that I did seek out higher education. And I always consider myself to be a forever learner. So I was always exploring ways to truly sit with myself and come to better terms as far as what I experienced whenever I was younger. So I felt that I was always perfectly imperfect. I always knew internally that I was grappling with some things and that I was having a little bit of difficulty navigating through life because of those things. And it manifested itself at times whenever I wish it didn't. And I talk a lot about that in my book. So I did seek counseling at a particular point in my life. And I believe that that was a point where I really felt like I was ready to speak a little bit louder about those things that were going on.
Absolutely. Well, was there a piece of advice that probably served you the best when you were going through your counseling and helped you move forward?
Certainly. I think one of the most important things that I learned is that we all have self-fulfilling prophecies that we tend to believe based on our childhood. And in fact, All of us have things that our parents might say to us. It can be good or bad, you know. We may hear a parent, for instance, say, well, this sibling is really smart. They're going to make it really far in life. And then we may hear the parent turn to another child and say, you know, this is my bad one. We're really struggling with this child. And albeit, you know, as parents, we tend to say those things and we're not even thinking about how that can impact our child as they grow older. However, those things, those words that are said in our childhood, they do stick with us. And it takes a lot for us to unwire our minds from believing things that are just not true. So a lot of things that were said about me when I was younger, number one, I was said to be shy. You probably couldn't believe it, you know, for someone who would start a nonprofit and have public speaking events all the time, that I internalized that a lot. There was a lot of preparation that I would have to do behind the scenes in order to get the motivation or encouragement in order to speak out for myself. So therapy helped me really just think about some of the things that I've wrestled with in my alone time that really, you know, these are not things that I thought about myself. So I had to reaffirm myself and really just think about ways to undo the things that I did not particularly care to move forward with in my life.
Absolutely. That makes sense. Yeah. So as you look back on your journey, though, Precious, and you look back on the childhood trauma that you endured, what kept you fighting through on your darkest day? What kept you?
You know, my children keep me fighting. They are the very reason why I wake up in the morning believing in possibilities. And when I go to bed at night, they are why I find a reason to continue on. And not only my children, I consider every child that I work with as my child. You know, I really feel that way about the kids that I work with. One of the things that I've always said about working with young people is that there's never a dull moment, right? No day is the same whenever we talk about working with young people. So they challenge us, they challenge our minds, and they also call on us to bring our strongest self to the table. If not for anything, for them. So while I was, you know, secretly curled up in the bed, they might have not have known it, while they were running around the house, I could hear how loud they were enjoying themselves. I was finding a reason to get past those things that I struggled with in life.
That's good. That's beautiful. And how would you say this whole ordeal kind of shaped you as a person in terms of who you are today?
I would say that it shaped me entirely, which is why the title of my book is, the subtitle is Embracing All That I Am, right? I wanted to embrace those things which I love to talk about and express to people, as well as those things that are less favorable and are not as fun to really talk with others about. So everything that happens to you, there's a saying that says that the body keeps the score, right? So we tend to have in our memory bank these things that come up. I wanted to stop being so aggravated by those things that I didn't want to remember coming up in my life. So everything that I have ever gone through continues to be a big part of me. But you know what? I'm very proud of that 9-year-old girl who had to continue on in life, who had to fight, who had to find her voice, who had to stand in front of even the person who did this to her and face that person. So I'm very proud of who I am, my 9-year-old self, and at this age and stage where I am in life.
That's awesome. It is very beautiful. It's been great to see you, the work you're doing out there as well. So Precious, you know, we're coming off a couple of years. It's been very, very tough on folks. People have lost loved ones. They've lost finance. They've lost possessions. They've lost even hope in some situations. What can you tell the folks out there listening to let them know that a brighter day is going to come?
One of the things that I always say is, you know, hope is probably one of the last things you want to lose. Please just try not to ever lose hope. If there's ever anything that you have, it is a hope for a better tomorrow. And I know it doesn't feel like it right now, while you're struggling, while you're needing to address situations. It's difficult, especially when we're dealing with these things surrounding those who we love the most. That really hits you in a way that's indescribable. But there is always hope. So I want you to always hold on to that, because it's going to be key to how you can get to the other side of whatever it is that you believe you're facing right now.
Yes, very well said, Precious McCoy, folks. Precious, if folks want to get a hold of you again, what's the best way to do that?
You can visit me at www.preciousmccoy.com. That is Precious McCoy with the K. .com.
Yeah, great story, very inspiration, very inspirational to all of us out there, and she's doing the work as well. So Precious, we've had the chance to talk a little about tough stuff. You ready to have a little fun?
Oh yeah, let's do it.
All right. This part of our show is called our rapid fire purpose questions. I'm asking you questions about purpose. I want you to give the audience your most concise answer. Are you ready?
Okay, I hope I do well.
All right, here we go. Precious, what gives your life meaning?
Oh, my children. Okay. Are these quick answers? Short?
You're most concise.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Okay.
What one word best describes you?
Precious.
There you go. Hey, what a good answer. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Play sports.
Okay. Any particular sport?
Oh, I played 5 sports in school. It's hard to choose one, but I guess I'll go with tennis since I get to continue to play tennis.
Busy lady. That's good. I love it. What do you wish you had more time to do?
Oh, I would say sing.
Okay.
Like performing, you know, get on the stage and sing.
Okay. So folks out there, if you're looking for some singers, reach out to her. What did your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
Oh, I definitely wanted to be a CEO of a large company.
Okay, awesome. You're that. You have it. It's going to be growing.
Thank you.
Who inspires you the most?
God.
Okay, awesome. What's something about yourself we might be surprised to learn about you?
I traveled to Spain once.
Okay. I hear that's a beautiful place. That's on my bucket list. Speaking of bucket lists, what's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Okay, I think I want to do iFly.
Hmm.
So I'm afraid it's skydive, but I can do it in reverse.
Okay, iFly. For those of us who don't know what that is, tell us what that is.
Oh, iFly, you put on a outfit and instead of coming down, you go up.
Oh, really? Okay. Interesting. I don't like them down, so I'll pass on both of them.
Right. I think if you watch Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, there's a scene where the kids go up. That's probably the closest thing that I can relate to it.
Good luck on that right there. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Say that again.
What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Oh, praying.
Awesome. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
Oh, that I'm the sweetest woman in the world.
Yeah. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
I would want to walk through walls.
Okay. That's a good one. Yeah. See that? What sparks your creativity?
Art.
Okay. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
I would raise the age for juveniles in detention.
Okay. Good. Love it. Sure you get some votes on that one right there. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
I would follow Michelle Obama around because she's an awesome woman.
Yeah. I would be with you there. I'd be trying to knock on that door so I can join you guys.
Yeah.
What's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
Love.
Yeah. What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
Wow. I don't know about that one. That don't I mind. Mean, I receive a lot of compliments. I guess I really appreciate when people are impressed with my work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love it. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
I guess heights. I'm not afraid of heights for the most part, except for skydiving. That's too high. Okay. But, you know, I've done zip lining. I write about that in my book. So just taking an adventure, doing something new. I'm not afraid to do that.
Awesome. I love it. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
I am proud of becoming SGA president.
Okay. And for those of us who don't know what that is, what is that?
Student Government Association. So class council.
I wasn't in that. They didn't allow me to be.
You voted for the person, I hope.
I didn't even vote. They didn't even come to me for my vote. I didn't matter. Well, I'm glad you got it though. That's awesome. I love it.
Thank you.
What does success look like for you?
Oh, that's, well, for me, success looks like having the career I want while running my nonprofit and taking care of my family all at the same time. Yeah. I didn't know that I needed all of that, but during the pandemic, I learned very quickly that if I don't have those three things, I am just a lost cause.
Okay, that's good to know. What are you most grateful for?
Life.
What's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
Ooh, to keep rising.
Yes. I love it. That's a great saying there. Matter of fact, one of my favorite songs has a verse that says, keep rising to the top and give it all you got. Kenny Burks. Yes. You guys check that song out there, all right?
All right, I will.
Last but not least, Precious McCoy, how do you want to be remembered in history?
For changing the trajectory of a child's life. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And by a child, I mean children in general. You know, I want them to be heard. I want them to feel like they have a place and a voice in the world, and they don't have to wait until they're my age.
That's right. Awesome job. Preston McCoy, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause. Awesome.
Woo, I made it.
Yeah, great job. Hey, folks out there, you gotta support and follow Preston McCoy. Get her book. It'll be an amazing book. It's going to inspire you. It's going to motivate you. It's going to encourage you as well. Lastly, Precious, there's two things that our podcast centers on. Resiliency and purpose. What can you tell our audience as we get ready to leave about those two areas?
Right. So another part of my book, I say that it's the journey of prevailing from pain to passion. And I debated a lot if I would use the word purpose or not. And I finalized to use the word passion because I think your passion will lead you to your purpose every time. And if you have that mindset, because resilience is more about mindset than anything, then you will be able to overcome just about anything. I love the saying that how you do one thing is how you do anything. Yes. So that's what resilience is to me.
That is awesome. Very well said. Folks, I hope you guys have been inspired by Preston McCoy's story, a long-time friend of mine. Here in North Carolina as well. So I want you to subscribe to our podcast, download this episode. If you're someone out there who has a story of overcoming, we want to hear from you. Please go to tawatson.com, share your story with us. Rate this episode, share with your folks on social media. And everyone else out there, we appreciate you joining today. God bless. Peace and deuces, everyone.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.